to our pulpit, our brother Andre Lyons, and we pray for the Lord's blessing on you as you minister the word.
Thank you very much, Brother James. I'd like to say good evening to everyone. Trust that you had a wonderful evening so far, and that you have been blessed by even the words of God from this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. And we'll also go over to the book of 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 10 to complement our reading this afternoon. We sung, "Here is love, love vast as the ocean. And as we go through this evening, I hope that we'll experience and we'll see even so the love of the Savior, Jesus Christ, for us all. Hebrews 12. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endure such contradiction of sinners against him, lest he be weary in the faith and faint in your mind." And over at 1 John chapter 4, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." With God's words open before us, let us seek his face in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have in your words to recognize your love for us. We thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus. We pray, God, that you may come now and be with us even as we deliver your words. We pray, God, that you may be with the hearers of your words, that they may hear your words, and that each and every one of us, O Lord, may depart from your house tonight with a word from thee. Bless and undertake for us, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I like to take as my text the words of verse 1 of the book Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The author of this text started his exaltation to the group of people here in the scripture. And it is clear from the word "wherefore" that he started his exaltation even before the verse, the chapter 12 of this book. And so, because he started before the chapter 12, I'd like us to take a little stroll back and see what he had covered before. Where is he coming from as to where he is at this point, where he's saying, "Wherefore, seeing we also or compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We want to know where he's coming from at this point. And so earlier on in the book of Hebrews, the apostle, he spoke frankly about the deity of God. He spoke about the Son of God. He gave us a glance. And if one should look even more detail at the first chapters that comes before the chapter 12, we will see also that it is deeper than a glance of the love of the Father. The love of God the Father, the love of God the Son. And as he progresses forward in the chapter 11, he gave us an idea of the forerunners, those who have traveled by faith. And this is so profound, friends, that when we look at it, we now find him at this point where, having set the pace for us, he is now saying, wherefore, seeing all these things, having heard all these things, he's now ready to speak to us about a subject of great importance. And that I consider this evening as the spiritual journey. The spiritual journey. As we think about this journey, I want us to see it in the eyes of the apostle here. The journey that we take, the moment we accept Christ. So I ask you at the beginning, do you feel like those of us who are saved, like this journey is cumbersome? Like this journey is burdensome? Is that the feeling that you have this evening? Or maybe you have the feeling that, well, you know, this journey is for more dedicated Christians than I am. This journey is for the minister who is called to go out there in the field, and not specially for me, not directly for me. I can't reach to that mark, so I don't think this journey is for me. Do you wonder, as you think about this journey, that you will never be able, or whether you'll be able to match up with those who the scripture speaks of? Peter, James, John, Job, Abraham. If you're in that position, friends, which I believe that all Christians have gone through or may still be going through, you're not alone. Because when I read the scriptures and I reflect on my life, I see my failure. I see, friends, how far I am from those persons who have gone ahead or before me. It is depressing. It can throw you off. It can derail you from your track. And a true Christian will always read the scriptures and reflect. That's the idea of a true Christian. We read, we reflect. Whenever we read and there's no reflection, then there's a problem. Because reflection helps us to see where we are, where we're going, where we're coming from. But the beauty of it, friends, herein is love. Love vast as the ocean, The beauty of it is the Holy Spirit that is in our lives. So when we have those moments, we know, we hear the words from God. It's a process. It's a process. It's a journey. That's the idea of the journey. It's a process. Journey doesn't start today and ends tomorrow or ends immediately after. That's why it's recognized as a journey. And so it's a process. If you can recognize where you are, if you can recognize where you need to be, then you are on a good standing point. So as we see here, when we think of it, when we look at our lives, when we reflect, and we feel ashamed of where we have been, of where we are, we need to remember one thing, friends. When we looked at the lives of those who have run before us, even as the scripture highlights, if we tear through the life of the Apostle Paul, then it makes us look as if we are not Christians at all. If we should examine how the Apostle Paul lived, then maybe each and every one of us, I know certainly for myself, I would feel as if I have not done, I am not doing, and may not ever be able to. If we just start and looking at the Apostle Paul, not even just look at the Apostle Paul, look at someone who have served less. And then maybe, but friends, it can be discouraging if we look at it that way. So let us not look at merely the person, but at how they have acquired success, how they have gone about their journey. And the scripture, and that is why the apostle sets the pace before us in the chapter 11, telling us these, and he started by saying, these are they who by faith, they have run by faith. That's what the book of the 11th chapter speaks about, faith. How they have attained by faith. So let us not focus on the individual, so to speak, so much, but on how they have done it. And then we know that that is how we need to go about it. By faith. In summary then, the passage is complemented by the first, by 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love. Herein is love. Knowing that we are different in our approach, in our approaches to things, how we attack things, in the amount that we put in for Christ, and yet the love that Christ has for us is vast as the ocean. Herein is love. So as the apostle outlines clearly, he speaks about the deity of Christ, who Christ is, what he is about, what he has done for us. His love, his compassion, his suffering, his pain. And this book is a book with deep doctrine that when we explore, and I encourage you to read from the chapter 1, it's a short book, but it may take time to read if you read with diligence. So now he's ready to tell us about the journey. So bearing that in mind, how these persons got to where they are, success, these saints who are in glory now. Let us look at this journey. And when we consider the journey, friend, I ask again, in a different form, in a different way, have you considered your journey with Christ? Are you aware of the glory of Christ in that journey? The reward of this journey? And most importantly, have you embarked upon this journey? Many have considered the distance and have refused to start. Others have started, but few are finishing. Many are called, but few are chosen. It is therefore important that we get a holistic view of what the journey looks like, of what it takes, so that when we think of the fears that we might have pertaining to the journey, we can know that when we go through the water, it will not overflow us. When we go through the fire, it will not consume us. Because when we take this journey, we travel not alone. The first thing I want us to recognize is the starting point of this journey. You know, there's a song that says, "It's not an easy road, we're traveling to heaven. For many are the thorns on the way." No, no, it's not an easy road. But the beauty is that Jesus walks beside me and brightens the journey. That's a wonderful thing. When we think about the starting point of the journey, to everything there's a beginning, to everything there's an ending. And the important point to note here is that the starting point is with the Lord, is with the Savior. It says, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So what the verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the starting point of the race. If we neglect the starting point of the race, friends, when we think we have completed, there will be no prize. Because practically speaking, technically speaking, we have not started. We all need to go through the process from the starting point. Picture a great runner on the track. Now, before the race begins, what he does is that he goes to what I believe they call a crouch start. Name is not important. He goes down to his knees, something like that, and get ready for the signal to start. Well, friends, when you are embarking this journey, you have to go to that start. Upon that start, the runner waits upon the signal from the starter. You call upon the Savior, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And then there goes the starting signal. Right there in that position, the starting position, you have to make that call. You see, this starter, friends, needs to know that you are ready to go on this journey. When you call, "Lord, be merciful upon me, a sinner," instantaneously, you get that response. Run, 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 run. Your journey has begun. And that's the response you get. Your sins are washed away, covered under the blood of the Lamb. Now you have entered the race, the journey has begun. I caution you, though. I caution you at that starting point, upon receiving, upon thinking, or believing that you have received the signal. Because the reality is, many are of the perception that they are on their journey, or on this journey, the journey to glory, that they have started the Christian race. And the sad reality is, friends, they have not moved an inch. They live a life that is a lie. So it calls for cautioning at this point. How so? How is it that I can run without not knowing that I'm running in vain? Well, I remember a while back I was in Jamaica and I was at school. They were having sports day and my students, they were running. And I felt like I was running the race. I started with my students running around the track because I was so much into the game, running around the track. My name could not be placed on the list at the end of the race. I didn't start. I was not entered into the race how the others did. And so my name could not be placed on the track. So how for the Christian? Well, friends, many. One, they have not called upon the name of the Lord. Two, some have called, but they have not believed. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It sounds trivial. Sounds very trivial. But the reality is, it is true. You take a cursory glance in society, and you see the sad reality. And when you are a Christian, it hurts you to know that many persons live not knowing that they don't know. So we ought to be cautious as we think about the starting point. It's a critical point, the starting point. And being cautious, friends, means that we ought to ensure that we appropriately apply, going through the process as we ought to, calling on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing. As there is no other way to approach it. And after making sure that our application is well intact, everything is okay with it, then we have to ensure that we are appropriately attired. See, at that starting point, we have to ensure that we are appropriately attired for many reasons. The runner on the track, he ensures that he's attired in a way that he is not slowed down by how he's dressed, by his clothing. And so it is true for us. And that is why the apostle says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. And the thing that we must recognize about the Apostle Paul, he's very frank and clear. He speaks directly to the problem. He's a man who I believe is a good problem solver. Many times when we come to solve problem, we attack around the problem, and the problem never gets solved. But the Apostle Paul, he attacks the problem. He says, lay aside the weight. Where is this weight coming from? The sin that is so easily beset us. He makes it clear to us. This is what we need to get rid of. upon starting this journey. We ought to put aside those sins, friends, that so easily beset us when we start our journey. And so the hymn writer will ask the question, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside every garment that has been stained by sin and embarked upon this journey. With this said and done, it is important to note that we cannot approach the starting line. We cannot approach this line foolishly. In that sense, we cannot approach like the foolish virgin, not bringing enough that we need for the journey. Because how they approached was that they went without enough oil. And somewhere along the line, they recognized they needed. So while we're encouraged to be attired appropriately, we're encouraged not to leave the Savior behind as we approach this journey. It's very important when we think about this starting line. I also need to let you know that it's not just at the starting point that we ensure and check how we're attired, but it's throughout the journey. It's important at the starting line, but it's important throughout the journey. Why? We'll see later on that as we go along, sometimes we pick up load along the way. We carry burdens along the way, burdens that we need not to carry, and it slow us down, and sometimes it causes us to stop. So while we think of it, and while we recognize that the starting point is a critical point in our Christian journey, I ask the question, have you considered your starting point? For those who may not be sure, for those who have lived their life and may have thought that they have gone about it the right way, then this calls for us to reflect. This call for us to think about even the starting point. And it will get very important for us in the future while we live our lives. Because as we go forward, we will need at some point to look back at the starting point. We will need to look back at the starting point, and I'll tell you why. There comes a time in your life when the devil approaches. The devil tries to tell you you're not saved at all. And then you remember that day when you got saved. And you remember that time. And you remember what you felt. And you say, the devil is a liar. Because I know at that moment, at that time, I know what I felt. You need that assurance at that starting point. The second thing I want us to recognize about this race is the struggle. The struggle. And therefore, we're encouraged to lay aside every weight, because the idea is a reality that at some point throughout that journey, we will go through the struggles. Struggles that we will go through along this journey They are vast. They are many. But the apostle here speaks directly to the struggles that are linked to the sins which so easily beset us. And this, friend, speaks to me of the sins that may repeat itself in our lives, may cause us to be on our knees more often. That sin that is probably a constant battle for us with. See, in the book of Galatians and the chapter 5, verse 7, Paul addressed the Galatians. He said to them, "You have run well. What did hinder you?" And this question came about because he had gone and preached to this group of people, this congregation. He had preached to them and he had left them, move on to minister other places. And there were some who came in and created division among the church. I want you to understand that at this point where Paul was getting at with the Galatians, he was dealing with a critical problem, a problem that is common among many churches, or if needless to say, all churches, because that is the most common strategy that the devil uses in his church, is to create division and separation. Because if we can divide, we can conquer. But if they are together, they cannot stand. And that is why the Apostle Paul himself tells us that we ought to pray together. We ought to work together. But here was the church that was now divided after the Apostle Paul has left them. But the Apostle Paul says they were running. They were going well. They were going on this journey well. And now something came along and this struck them. That is the struggle, friend. We will have that struggle. And this struggle that they were now having in this church was a struggle of the sin that has beset them, that has derailed them from their track that they were traveling on. On our journey, friends, what will we allow to derail us? What will we have, will we allow to hinder us? Let us not fool ourselves. There will be obstacles in our way. There will be challenges to come. There will be the ultimate strategy of the devil to divide and to conquer. So as the Apostle Paul says, he says, put aside every weight. Specifically, he spoke to the sin that so easy beset us. Put it aside. And when you have put it aside, then we can run the race with patience, looking on to Jesus. When we think of that word beset, it suggests in itself the struggle. How can we run, friends, if there is the struggle of sin weighted on our backs? How will we run? What will happen is that we will get burdensome. I lift Brihanda to walk with her, and I get tired after a while. And I haven't walked long. I haven't walked long with her, but I got tired. And I said, Brianda, can I put you down? She says, no. I said, well, I might fall if I don't put you down. She comes like this. I got you. Don't worry. But friends, that's the reality. When we carry the load, we will fall or we'll have to rest. The problem, friends, about resting is that when we rest, we want to stay longer. And in staying longer, we will want to go back. And in wanting to go back, we will eventually go back. And in going back, then that is in itself a mess. How can we then continue this journey if there is this weight of sin on our backs? And that is what the apostle says. Let us lay it aside. So when I examine my life, I say, Lord, show me the weight that I am carrying. So as I pray, Lord, I know exactly what I'm praying for. Take it from me. And I know exactly the weight that I'm carrying. I say, Lord, keep it far from me. Bear it from me, for me. Friends, that will be the struggle we have. We will have the struggle of trials, constant trials. We will have the fiery trials. One thing we need to understand about trials, and as we examine on a wider perspective within our society or even close by, we will see the trials that Christians have on a whole. In addition to the trials that we have in our daily lives, at our workplace, in our homes, the trials that are so cumbersome that sometimes cause us to be so weary, sometimes cause us to be so downcast. I hardly read the news because it is always bad stuff happening. Hardly ever you hear good news. 21 persons beheaded Christian. And we can see clearly that on this journey, the devil is aiming directly at us with his darts. We are not to take this devil lightly and never dare to think we can stand against him on our own. He's far too advanced for us. And so if we stand against him on our own, we are already defeated. When we examine our situation, even here now, we see how one of the most genius plan that the devil have orchestrated presently today is to get within our school system a curriculum that seemingly to us, as we go by in our busy lives, not taking the time to examine this document, legal document, they polish it so pretty and so neatly that we don't know what we're signing to. And then when we have realized, it's too late. When we consider what is in it, it is aimed at the younger children. And that's how genius the plan is. Because if we can get the younger children, who cares about the adults? They'll soon die out. If we can get the younger children to grab on to this, and of course, the devil is victorious. Huh? While the church on this journey, friends, sit lying idle by, pray not. The devil sweeps in. The message that was preached this morning, as I listened, I heard of a similar situation as we have in the world today. the destruction of the principles, the standards that are biblical, and the Christians lie asleep. And oh, the prophet of God seemingly grieved with what he saw. He prayed to the Lord. It's a similar situation we have. And we ought to be grieved with what we see. So much that we go on our knees. Even these are trials, these are struggles that we have on this journey. Don't take it for granted that the devil will leave us alone. The moment we start praying, the moment, friends, we start getting on our knees, be ready for the problems to increase and intensify their will, because praying is what the devil wants us not to do. Examine your scripture, friends, and you will see upon every journey that every prophet, every man of God, every child of God have taken, once they started praying, then the devil was now brought to his knees, slaughtered by the mighty warrior that we have, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to know how powerful our God is in battle. When he comes out from the battlefield, he's covered, dyed with the blood of the enemy. He comes out of the battlefield, Isaiah tells us, without fatigue, victorious, walking as the champion he is. And the devil knows that. The devil dare not want to see us pray. And so our trials, our struggles will come along, and they will be so heavy, weighted on our heads, that the first thing that comes to our mind many times are not the things of God. So we are warned by the apostle that we ought to be cautious of the struggles along the way on our journey. So we're told at the beginning that we must be assured in ourselves of our stand with God. So when the troubles come tumbling down, we can know, like Job did when his troubles came around him and all seemed to be lost. I can imagine the state of mind he was in. Because I can think of when simple problems come my way. Frustrated we can get. But yet when we examine the problem that took Job on his journey, and if the problem was just, if it was just the problem, then that would be one thing. But then he had his wife coming. And then he had his friends coming. One would say he had more on his plate than he could have managed. But look at his approach. Through faith, he continued. His wife came. He says, "Don't be foolish. For I know that my Redeemer liveth." And so we ought to be assured at the starting point throughout the journey. So as when the problems come, when the struggle comes, we're not derailed. And as we think in the context of what the apostle is saying, laying aside these weights, how can we do that? Well, friends, on our knees. Let us pray. You know, sometimes when problems befall us, sometimes it's so easy to take out the phone and start telling a friend. I know it's so easy. And then second nature to us is to call upon the Savior. But let us start taking out the phone and call upon the Savior. We'll need a friend to help us pray later. Yes? And then sometimes the things that we, in the conversation that we engage in, destroy us even then. Because we don't focus on the things of God as often as we should. And the struggles come along. When I first came to this country, I thought to myself, how will I witness to persons? They have so many laws here. If you approach somebody, you probably get sued for that. How will I witness to persons? And then while I was on the train, I thought I was there, and I took out my laptop, and I was doing my, typing up my message. And I thought to myself, I'm going to turn my laptop so if somebody comes to sit beside me, probably they'll be, you know, look over and see something. And I was there typing, and I was doing the introduction, and there was this young man that came and sat beside me. And I forgot what I thought about earlier, but then I recognized that he was reading off my laptop. And he was there and he was reading. So I slowed my typing a bit so that he could read. And I turned to look at him, probably for a couple of seconds. He was so engaged in what he was reading that he didn't even recognize I was looking at him. And I didn't bother to say anything to him. I just allowed him, let him read. And I prayed there and then. I prayed, Lord, let what he read be of some use to him, and that he probably sees something that will, you know, lead him to Christ. The reality is, friends, there are ways to witness to people that sometimes we don't recognize, and sometimes we don't take opportunity of we don't take advantage of those opportunities. But we ought to know that when we go along this journey, as we deal with these struggles, we ought to put the Lord first. We ought to seek his face, ask him for his help, for his assistance as we deal with these things in our lives. The minute we decide not to go to the Lord first, the devil has already won, because that's what he wants. If I can throw a curveball at him and he use not his resources that he have, then I'm good to go. Second thing we need to recognize, rather the third thing, because we have looked at the starting point, we have looked at the struggle, let us look at the strengthening thing. Looking unto Jesus. That's the strength. Looking, simple. That's the strength. When we start the race, we were looking unto Jesus to get the signal to go. But we don't stop look there. We continue looking. You know, friends, sometimes when we get distracted, we stop look. But we are to try to make sure that we keep looking. I know it can be hard. Peter stopped look. He was on the water. And the Lord says, come. And then he looked down, took his eyes off the Lord. Yeah, Peter stopped look. Others in the scripture stopped looked. But we all see what that leads, what that gave them, what that brought to their life. The stress, disappointment. And then the Lord started chastening them. And that is what happens, friends. According to what we are seeing in this particular text, the chastening comes as a result of the sins that so easily beset the people. So, what is our strength? When we examine how the world approach things, how the government approach things, how any group that is successful. I know you're going to say that the government is successful in a negative way, how they do things, yes. But they analyze they tear apart. And they look for strong points. And if I can strive at the strong point here, then success is a plus for me. What is our strong point? What is our strength on this journey? I'll tell you for a fact that my strength is not that I can run fast. You go into an interview and somebody say, what's your strength? What's your weakness? Maybe you say, well, I'm fluent at speaking English. Maybe you say, well, I have a bachelor's degree, something in this, something in that. On this journey, your qualification is not your strength. On this journey, who you are is not your strength. On this journey, where you have been is not your strength. For we have one strength on this journey, and that is Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, when you fail to use that strength, you will fail miserably at trying to fight the devil on your own. I told you my story. I was in the United States and I was in a pool, a wave pool. Can't help myself somehow with swimming. And I tell you that I was in the pool. Whenever the wave comes on, you're supposed to get out. That's what I was told. But my friends were there and they didn't get out, so I didn't get out. And the wave came off. I got hit off the seabed that I was on. I was being sucked in. And I was struggling, and I knew my strength then was not swimming. My strength was not swimming. Yet I tried. So I started to try to swim. What was my strength at that point? The strongest thing I could have done is call for help. I didn't. And I almost lost my life because the lifeguard, he was there and he was watching. I can imagine he was just looking and he was probably saying, okay, I'm just going to leave him there. Let him learn a lesson before I jump in for him. Because just about when I felt that this was it, I was going under. And I was there struggling for a little time and I'm still not calling for help. But when I felt that this was it, I was going on. And even at that point when I was going on, I'm still not saying help. And I can imagine many persons in life, even at that point when they're on their deathbed, and they realize that they're going under, they're still not calling for help. They're just as foolish as I was. Just about to pass out. Then I felt a arm came across me and pulled me out of the water. Indeed, I was embarrassed. But the idea is, friend, learn your strength. Know your strength. That's what we're told in school. What are you good at? I'm good at drawing. Well, go for that career. What's your strength today to succeed on this journey? Your strength is Christ Jesus. That's your strength. So when on this journey and you're struggling, what are you going to do? You're going to call out for help. You're going to call out for help. Who you're going to call? You're going to call Christ Jesus. Considering then, the scripture says, how that he endure contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured this. Why? For us. Herein is love. For us, herein is love. Having done all of this for us, then he is our strength. Where do we need to run to when we want to vent? Christ Jesus. Where do we need to run to when we need strength? Christ Jesus. Why are we not using our strength? What are we trying to prove in as a nation? As a Christian community? When there are bylaws in our cities? When there are people dying in our cities? When across the world there are people being murdered? And we, our knees are not bruised from praying. When I think about it, I feel ashamed. Why am I not using my strength? I too have that strength. Is my knees bruised from praying? Because that's our strength. When I was going to university, I started following politics a little because I had to write some essays. And it would irritate me. And I would talk about it. But I soon recognized it makes no sense. Talking about it to myself doesn't change the problem, doesn't solve the problem. So friends, what's our strength? How do we get things done? And the Apostle Paul wants us to recognize this. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's our strength. It is just black and white, straight and clear. Looking unto Jesus. This is what I recognize about myself, about Christianity, is that sometimes, friends, we limit the Creator. Because when I read the Scripture and I see the mighty work that God have done, my 3 years no rain, God have done that. My one man destroying entire building of heathens. God have done that. The day of Pentecost, many persons were there, but yet they heard the word of God in their own tongues. God have done that. So we ought to know our strength on this journey. It won't be a situation like where Brenda says to me, I got you. But it will be a situation where when the Lord says, I got you, he really has you. He'll be carrying you in his arms. And that is the reality of it, friends. Wherefore, let us lay aside that weight of sin that so easily beset us. In other words, let us put aside our problems. And laying aside it means knowing our strength and taking it to God. And the solution will come as the Lord sees it fit. The Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hill. Why? Because there cometh my strength. There cometh my strength. So the final thing that I want us to look at this afternoon is the satisfaction. We have looked at the starting point. We have looked how that at that point it's critical. We must know exactly where we're going We must know that we are listening for that starting mark, and therefore we have to ensure that we call upon the starter, Christ Jesus. We have seen that along the way there will be struggles. We have also seen that we need to exercise our source of strength as we travel on this journey. Let us recognize the satisfaction. Who is the satisfaction? Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. In Philippians 3:13-14, the apostle says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize." I press towards that mark for the prize. The glorious thing is the journey is challenging. And for anyone to tell you that the journey will be smooth, it is far from the truth. But every runner knows that what is most attaining, what is most joyful, is the satisfaction at the end of the race. What is most joyful to us will be the satisfaction at the end of the journey. There are persons who have started this journey for a long time. Persons who are 60 probably have started 20 years. Persons who are 80 probably have started 40 years, 50 years. I lift my hat to those persons because I know I haven't been far in the journey and it's very cumbersome. And yet, those persons have started. And one thing I've learned from a child is that you must always speak to your elders because they'll tell you how to escape some of the obstacles in the way. So I always listen to those who are older than I am. Try never to disrespect, because therein I can learn how to escape. And this goes for the children, and also myself. You ought to learn from your elders, learn from your parents, because the journey that we take, we have gone through it. They have gone through it. And they can say to you, "Don't open that door." "Why, mommy? Why, daddy?" "Because I did open that door when I was your age. And I know that behind that door, you do not want to go." Of course, some curious child goes to open the door because they want to see what is behind that door. So as we explain to our younger ones what's behind, about the door, it's important sometimes to tell them why not to open the door. I have learned that. I thought that teaching for a while I would know children. But then having children of my own, I know children. When I say to Brenda, "Don't touch that," she's going to touch it. But I learned that if I continue and say, "Don't touch it because of that," she doesn't touch it. Or sometimes she does.
But most times when she see you coming, she says, "Daddy, don't touch that." I said, "Yes," but she knows because it will do this to me. Yes. So children, we ought to listen so that we can escape some of these things on the journey. And as we think about that satisfaction, how awesome it is. Can you imagine for a short period of time? Try this. When you have that day, when all seems to be going wrong, as they oftentimes will, that day when it seems like everything one behind the other is just a ripple effect of misery. Try. Stop for a moment. Step back and imagine what that day will be like when all the heavens will be flooded with angels, I assume, and the glory of the Lord is around, when maybe your spine shiver and tears flow from your eyes, and anxiety forces you to shout for joy. And when you behold the beauty of the Savior, you ought to study in detail the scripture. And if you glimpse for a second how pure the Savior is, just reflect on that. It certainly should bring a smile to your face. Put things in perspective for you for the day. Because the satisfaction is a reality. And that is why we are pressing towards that mark. So when we feel weary, dangerous around, everything seems hopeless, let's keep on believing that Jesus is near. Why we want to believe that? Because we know the glorious satisfaction that is await us when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall exist no more. And this glorious day shall come. We know what we will be experiencing. And then I ask you the question, friends. Is it worth it? I know I have many persons creating an image of what that day looks like in their mind. And I'm asking the question, is it worth it? Is persecution then worth it? Is frustration, is your struggle worth it? I hear of the history of this church. I hear of where it's coming from. I hear of the struggle, the sweat, the tears, the prayers that have gone into the work. Your foundation here is rich, rich with blessings from God. But don't get too comfortable to think that the work is over. Remember what the Lord have done for us in the past. And if he could do that then, or rather because he have done such things then, he can do more. So is it worth it? Is coming out to the prayer meeting, even in the snow, worth it? Is coming to the Sunday night fellowship worth it? Is coming to the Sunday morning service worth it? Is making that extra effort worth it? Sometimes it pains my heart when I can't be at a prayer meeting, circumstances beyond my control. Sometimes I condemn myself for it because I know that we ought to make it. When we have to go to get a job, we make it. But when it comes to the things of God, sometimes we give ourselves comforting excuses. And so sometimes it becomes a misery for me when I think about it. You know, if there's an opportunity that I allow, you know, that slips by. Because the question is asked at the end of the day when we see that beauty, the satisfaction before us, is it worth it? Is it worth it going through the fire? Going through the flood? Are we laboring in vain? I know it's difficult because when I was in Jamaica, sometimes it feels difficult. You get up on the pulpit Sunday and it feels difficult. But friends, our worship for God ought to be in one in which that we keep looking at the satisfaction. Let us look at the satisfaction. Let us encourage each other to look at the satisfaction. Why? Because tomorrow I might not feel up to it. And maybe I need you tomorrow to give me a call. Hello, what's going on? I haven't seen you in church. What's going on? How are things going? That's one of the things that keeps us going, friends. And then we know the satisfaction at the end. Is it worth it? Having seen then, friends, a glance of what the journey looks like. And in my opinion, I haven't done justice to the picture of what the journey looks like. But I trust that you somehow has grasped bits and pieces of it. And hopefully you will go through and look at it for yourselves. But having seen what it looks like, from the starting point to the satisfaction, I rest upon your heart, upon my heart, and trust me, on my heart more. Because I believe when the Apostle Paul says, God forbid that after preaching to you, after speaking to you about it, I be cast away. I hold that dearly to my heart. But nonetheless, having seen it, friends, is it worth it? Does that give us that drive? I hope it energizes us to keep on going. Because that's what we want. Make no mistake, we will get to that point when we slow down, sometimes even stop. Sometimes, you know, resting allows us to look at things and move on. But never staying there. We'll get to that point. But we have to know our strengths. How do we get up and move on? And that is important for us. Right now, you're my strength in Christ. And I am your strength. Because maybe tomorrow I see you down and I may say to you, are you okay? Have you thought about bringing it to the Lord in prayer? In that way, we do the work for Christ. With that on our mind, with the picture of the journey on our mind, let us bow our heads and pray, asking the Lord to give us a better picture, clearer picture than what I have tried to paint. of the journey. A picture that will put even a bigger smile on our face, especially when we think of the satisfaction of it all. Let us pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the picture that is given to us in the scripture of this journey. We thank you especially, Lord, for the satisfaction that is to come. We pray, O God, that you may rest upon our hearts, your words. We know, O God, that sometimes we fail thee miserably. And we ask thee for strength. Strength to fight the good fight. So that at the end of the day we'll be able to say, I have fought a good fight. And that I have finished my course. Bless and undertake for us. Take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. Have a pleasant evening.